Minneapolis hospital waiting room, and their wives were all in labor, and they were kind of in the waiting room together. And the nurse arrived and announced to the first man, "Congratulations, sir. You're the father of twins." And he thought, well, what a coincidence. He said, "I work with the Minnesota Twins baseball team." That's amazing. Then after a little while, the nurse returned in to the second man and said, "You, sir, are the father of triplets." And the man thought, triplets? He thought, that's amazing because I work for 3M, the company 3M. And about an hour later, sure enough, there were two more men left, and the nurse came to the third man, and she announced, "Sir, this is unbelievable. You have quadruplets." And he was like, "Oh my goodness, this is another coincidence because I work for Four Seasons Hotel." The fourth man passed out on the floor. When they finally revived him, they said, "Why did I take that job at 7-Up? Why did I take it?" I want you to stand with me this morning. I don't know if you've got 3 children or 4 children. I don't know what God has in mind, but we're here to celebrate our Heavenly Father, and we're here to celebrate our earthly fathers. And don't worry, ladies, this message will be for you as well. I want to talk to you about Men of Steel. Just a few years ago, they redid the Superman movie. I'm always the fan of the 80s movies because, you know, that's my generation. But the title of that movie was Man of Steel. And, you know, in the home, we need men of steel. In our community, now more than ever, we need men of steel. And in the church, we need men of steel. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. As you remain standing, and so good to see Cooper Peacock and his lovely bride here this morning. And all I've heard him sing was the song y'all did this morning, Can't Let a Day Go By. And it was on the live stream. He was singing those other songs. I was like, wow, he is awesome. He really is. The Lord has blessed you, brother. And I appreciate you helping us on our live stream. And by the way, tonight is Father's Day, and we're not having streaming service tonight because we don't normally have church on Sunday night. So if you tune in at 6 o'clock, it'll be a blank screen, but we'll be back Wednesday night. Amen. The Lord is good. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. Read it out loud. Just read it out loud. "I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father." Thank you, Lord, for men of steel. Anoint your servant. We give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them. Happy Father's Day. Don't touch them, whatever you do. If you love the Lord, say amen. First John chapter 2, verse 13, "I write unto you fathers." I'm glad God has a written something for fathers and mothers and children. But today is Father's Day. And in our text this morning, the Apostle John is talking about fathers. And he's talking about young men who have known God. I like this scripture, but it says, "You have overcome the evil one." And I believe what he was talking about was talking about men of steel. Because I really believe that in this time, like no other, we need Holy Ghost filled, on fire, men of steel. Point number one this morning, men of steel are needed. Men of steel are needed. You see, 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Statistics tell us that 80% of rapists come from a fatherless home. 71% of pregnant teenagers simply just did not have a father in their life. This is amazing, folks. This isn't just me rattling off numbers here. This is terrible. 63% of youth suicides, 63% of youth who commit suicides don't have a dad. 90% of adolescent repeat arsonists live with only their mother. 71% of high school dropouts come from a fatherless home. 75% of adolescents' patients in chemical abuse, drug abuse, come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in the state-operated institutions have no father. 85% of youths in prison grew up in a fatherless home. Fatherless boys and girls, listen to this, are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional or behavioral problems. Chuck Colson said, in fact, most of the social problems disrupting American life today, he said this 20 years ago, but I believe it's real today, most of the social problems disrupting American life today can be traced back to fatherlessness. And I'll tell you, all these folks out here looting and rioting, if they had had a father that administered the law of justice to the back end, I believe there'd be a little bit more law and order in the land today. Fathers are needed. Men of steel are needed. Number two, let me give you some examples of men of steel. Because when we think about men of steel, are we talking about superheroes like Superman or Captain America? Are we talking about political men of steel? And I have to admit, there are some presidents we've had that were men of steel. We've had some presidents that weren't very strong. Abraham Lincoln was a presidential man of steel. Ronald Reagan, when he said, tear down that wall, was a man of steel. George W. Bush, when he said, bring it on, hallelujah, was a man of steel. And Donald Trump, oh my goodness, is a man of steel. What about JFK? I better throw a Democrat in there. I'll never hear the end of this. What about JFK? Oh, when he stood up to the Cuban Missile Crisis. When we talk about men of steel, are we talking about presidents? Are we talking about actors? I was going to hit every generation. John Wayne was a man of steel, right? What about Clint Eastwood? Man of steel. Now, that's for all you baby boomers. I got you taken care of. Let's move on to my generation. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Who else is here? Chuck Norris. Oh, my goodness. Chuck Norris. Now, let's get on down to the millennials, and I still might be missing it. Hugh Jackman and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Is that really... Now, they're strong men. But is that really what we're talking about? What about in the sports world? Michael Jordan and LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Ezekiel Elliott. Yes, I had to throw the Cowboys in. Amen. Man of steel. Men of steel. Let me give you some examples of true spiritual men of steel. All these other guys are tough guys, and that's okay, and we need some good manly examples. But what about Noah? Look at Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6 through 7. Noah was a man of steel. It says by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and you could say faith, and prepared an ark. Watch that. Say those words with me. To the saving of his house. Say that with me. To the saving of his house. My goodness, we need men of steel. We need to see men rise up because our house needs to be saved. My wife needs to be saved. My children need to be Holy Ghost filled. We need some men that'll say, as for me and my house. We're not going to drag in the church, slouching over and getting 20 minutes late and leaving 5 minutes early and heading to the buffet. We need men of steel like Noah that said, I'm going to prepare an ark for the saving of my house. You know, Noah probably got criticized for that. Noah probably got criticized. What are you doing, Noah? You're building an ark. What about your three sons? Anybody remember Noah? Now, you Bible scholars, let's see if the regular ones can do it. I know two or three of them here, Noah. Noah had three sons. Anybody know who they were? I'm telling you, this is, give yourself a hand. I'll tell you, this is a Bible literate church. Now, who's your granddaddy? If you're a Jew, it was Shem. And if you were an American, you're Japheth. Japheth is our granddaddy. How about that? So we come from Japheth, and then Ham, the Asians, and they come from that area as well. But listen to me. Think of that. All three of those boys, Noah had them working on that ark. And I'm sure they wanted to play ball. I'm sure they wanted to do other things. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you what. They were like, Noah, you got your three boys, and all you do is have them building that old boat. Why are you doing that, Noah? Noah, that's, don't you know there's a, they need to get advanced degrees? Don't you know they've got to do this? Don't you know? Noah said, I've got my boys involved in the most important thing that will ever matter for all eternity. And we're going to have fun as a family. We're going to enjoy that. But we got to build that ark. Hallelujah. And brother and sister Noah heard a lot of criticism. And I'm sure they probably said, why have you got your boys all and tied up in that? There's other things in life. But let me tell you what Noah never heard when that ark door was shut. He never heard Shem, Ham, or Japheth saying, Daddy, let me in. They were in the ark, brother. That's a man of steel. God give us a man of steel that'll get their family in the ark. What about, here's another man of steel. How about Moses? He was a man of steel. I tell you what. Now, he was humble, but I tell you what, he stood his ground. And Pharaoh, you know, he told Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, who is the Lord that I should let his people go? I know not the Lord, and neither will I let his people go. Wrong. Let the heathen rage. Let that crowd over on that other side, let them keep doing this and doing that and do other. God's got the last say. Amen. I don't care if the Supreme Court says you've got to do this. We have the Supreme Court. His name is Jesus. Amen. He's the author and the finisher. Amen. Look at Exodus chapter 10 and verse. And Pharaoh said, he said, I got to deal with this guy. You know, all these plagues and stuff. Pharaoh said, well, Moses, why don't you let your men just go? Just let your men go. Leave the kids behind. You know, they're kind of a burden anyway. And you know, the wives, you know, they're all the time in a tizzy about something. So just, you just go and you men have a good time and you just, and Moses said, look at it. I love that screen back there. You got it back here. It said, Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our money, with our flocks and our herds, for we must. This isn't optional anymore. Church isn't, if I get around to it. This wasn't Moses. He said, we must serve him because God is good all the time. And we're headed to the promised land. And I'm going to take my family. Men of steel. Listen, someone said to our forefathers, the Christian faith was an experience. To our fathers, it was an inheritance. To this generation, it's a convenience. To this other generation, it's a nuisance. We've got to keep this thing alive. We've got to keep this thing alive. How about Shammah? Shammah was a man of steel. Oh, y'all never heard a lot about Shammah. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agai, the Horaite. The Philistines were gathered into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great picture. This was a bean field, basically, a little patch of bean field. And I've heard old Jimmy Swaggart preach, I left my pea patch for the last time. I've heard him preach that. You probably have too. But he was a man of steel that stood his ground. And you need to stand your ground. And the church needs to stand its ground. We are not for abortion. Period. End of story. We're not voting for people that believe that way. And I don't care if people get upset when the president holds up the Bible. I got upset about that. Got upset and he held up the Bible. And I thought, all of you upset about him holding up the Bible. I'm upset that you trampling on the Bible when you press that lever. We need men of steel. We need preachers of steel. Can you feel it coming out of me? Come on now. Come on. We need men of steel who stand their ground as a father. We need men of steel who will stand their ground in this country and say, we're not for that. When Franklin Graham sent workers and hospital, he set up a big tent in Central Park, and he was prepared to help those with the COVID cases. But people said, we don't want you, Franklin Graham, because you teach against a certain sin. And Franklin was like, we don't care who comes to our tents. We love everyone. But yes, we do preach the word of God. So they kicked Franklin Graham out of New York. And not only that, but the workers that stayed there for 2 weeks have to pay taxes. And the governor said, I can't waive those taxes because our people need that money too much. I'm here to tell you, folks, this is all out war and we better stand our ground. Amen. We better stand our ground. Amen. You say, well, what's the answer? I'm going to love people, but I'm going to speak the truth in love. Say that with me. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Leonard Ravenhill talks about two families. First, there was Max Jukes. He was an atheist. He lived a godless life. He married an ungodly person. From their union, 310 died as paupers. 150 were criminals, 7 were murderers, 100 were drunkards, and more than half of the women of their descendants were prostitutes. Of his 540 descendants, it cost the state $1.25 million just from Max Jukes and his wife. At the same time was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a pastor and a man of God. He lived at the same time as Max Jukes. He married a godly young lady. Of his 1,394 known descendants of Jonathan Edwards, 13 became college presidents. 65 became college professors. 3 became United States senators. 30 became judges, 100 lawyers, 60 doctors, 75 Army and Navy officers. He had in his descendants over 100 preachers and missionaries, 60 authors of books, and one of his descendants became vice president of the United States, 295 college graduates, and many were governors and foreign ministers to country. Do you know that it makes a difference when you stand your ground to your generations? God give us men of steel like Noah. God give us men of steel like Moses. God give us men of steel like Shammah. God give us men of steel like Jonathan Edwards. Men of steel are needed. Say amen. Examples of men of steel. And then finally, point number 3, how can you become a man of steel? Have you got to go out to the gym and lift a lot of weights? That might help you physically and certainly wouldn't hurt some of us, right? But what I'm talking about, God wants you to become a man of steel. So how do you become a man of steel? Well, you become a man of steel by putting the big rocks in first. Now, what do you mean by that? See, I went to East Carolina University, and there was a professor that had his students in college, and he had this big, wide-mouth jar. And in that jar, he had some large rocks. And he asked his students a question because the rocks, those big rocks, filled up the jar. And he asked the students, he said, is this jar full? Well, one of the bright students said, yes, the jar is full. Look at all the big rocks in there. You can't put anything else in there. He said, no, the jar is not filled. And he took some gravel and put the gravel in the top of the jar, and the gravel began to fill in the places around where the big rocks were. And he shook it down, smoothed it off, and he said, now, is the jar filled? And they said, yeah, it's filled. He said, no, it's not. Then he took fine sand and he put it on top of the gravel. And he shook it down, and the fine sand got between the loose gravel that got between the big rocks. He said, is the jar filled now? And they were afraid to answer the question. He said, no, it's not filled yet. He took some water, and he poured it in, and then the water finally filled all the parts of the jar. He said, is the jar filled? And they said, you answer, Professor. He said, it's filled. And he said, well, what is the lesson I'm trying to teach you? And somebody said, well, I guess there'll come a time in your life when it'll be so filled and saturated you won't be able to put anything else in. He's like, no, that's not the lesson. He said, the lesson is this. If I had not have put the big rocks in first, I wouldn't have been able to fit them in later. And my friend, there's about 4 big rocks in every man's life that you need to have in first, because all the other stuff is just sand and water and gravel. What are those 4 big rocks? One of them is the big rock of prayer. A man of steel is a man of prayer. Guys, you don't have to be a theologian to pray. You don't have to pray in, "Oh, our Father who inhabitest between the cherubs, send forth now thine glory." You don't have to pray in the King James Version to get a hold of God. Just talk to your Father. Call out to God. I personally take 30 minutes about four times a week. 30 minutes is my appointment with God. And Tommy Barnett gave me that idea because he said in Revelation there was 30 minutes of silence in heaven. Now, 30 minutes, just take 30 minutes, maybe three or four times a week, and just get away from everybody. Put the big rock in and take 30 minutes and pray according to the Lord's Prayer. Start out not with your sins and your mistakes and your failures and your needs. Start out by saying, "God, you're an awesome God. You're a mighty God." And then after you've worshiped Him, say, "Oh Lord, give me my daily bread. My wife has needs. My children have needs. My pastor has needs." And then toward the end of the prayer, say, "Now Lord, you know I've messed up and I've struggled, and forgive me of my sins." And then end that prayer with praise again. Take 30 minutes. Take the big rocks of prayer. Make it an appointment four times a week. That's what I do. Maybe you can do more. Maybe you do three times a week, or maybe even two. Do something. But put the big rock in of prayer first. I'm telling you, I know God hears our whispered prayers. When I'm at the job site and I'll just slip around to the restroom, just like the women do. I've learned it now. I'll just go to the restroom and I'll shut the door. And usually men don't congregate. If there's another man in there, somebody jets, you know. And so I'll just get alone with God for a few minutes and I'll say a quick prayer. But take some time to put the big rock of prayer in. Pray over your children. Pray over them. Get a burden for the lost. Pray over your companions or your co-workers. Put the big rock of prayer in and you'll be a man of steel. What about the big rock of personal devotion? That's reading the Word of God. Men, you've got to learn to read the Bible all the way through. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all the way down to the book of Revelation. You've got to put that big rock in. And if you've never read the Bible through, at least read the New Testament. Start with the New Testament. You can read. God can give you comprehension. I know men can tell you the latest sports figures. They can tell you the golf tournaments. And they can tell you, a lot of men can tell you the baseball and the football and all of that. And it's so hard for me not to say some things this morning. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not watching anybody or any sport that doesn't be patriotic to the American flag. Period. 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 End of story. As much as I love football and stuff like golf and all of that, but the minute they disrespect the flag and stuff like that, they've lost me. Because I want you to know, this is an awesome country we live in. People died for this. People died. Christianity and missionaries and the work of God. God raised up America to protect Israel and the Jews and to give us the greatest economy. And I know things are not right. I know there's been things we've done in the past. But let's get over it, praise God. Let's come together and let's be men of steel. And let's read the Word of God and let's have prayer. Amen. And then there's another big rock, spending quality time with your family. Now, what is quality time? Rushing to this meeting, rushing to that meeting, wolfing down Chick-fil-A. I know that happens. Running through the drive-thru and you know, you going this way and you going that way. Folks, can I tell you, the devil wants to speed us up too much. If I were a dad, and my wife and I were dead, we would make sure one night, yes, church, and that's coming up in just a minute, but yes, church, but there would be a night, a sacred night, where we would just, you know, hang out at the house, enjoy one another's presence, keep the TV back in the background low, and just talk with one another and make home fun. Make home fun. Why would your teenage girl want to go out and do all kinds of things if home is fun and dad is there to love? You know, we've ruined the Hollywood and the world and the left side. They have ruined the traditional family. Ruined it, trying to ruin it. They've made dad a bumbling idiot who has no clue. But my friend, dad isn't a bumbling idiot that has no clue. Dads, you've got a responsibility. You have a wife, you have children, and you're a man up, glory to God. Be a man of steel and be a spiritual leader. Be a godly. Didn't say you're perfect. Cause I tell you, King David was called a man of God three times in the scripture, but he messed up himself as a dad. He messed up himself as a servant of the Lord. But God's not looking for men of perfection, but he is looking for men of steel. And spend some quality time with your family. It's radical. I know we're all busy. Take some time. Look at your schedule and say, are we spending time, quality time together? Am I listening? You know, you can be so busy, you're listening to your kids, but you're not really hearing what they're saying. And that's where disappointment comes in. Dr. James Dobson says the average dad in America talks to his children about 30 seconds a day. No wonder we're seeing rioting and looting and people confused on their gender identity and all of that. We have compassion for those people. There is a need for men of steel, the big rock of prayer. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. I'm coming to a close and I'm about to call myself to the piano to play. That's dangerous because my sermon can go on and on, you know. The big rock of prayer, say amen. The big rock of personal devotion, say amen. Spending quality time with your family, say amen. And church attendance, say amen. Turner Gleason was a musician that played on Broadway. He began to travel in shows across the nation and became very wealthy. And his wife, while he was out traveling, went to an old tent meeting during the Depression days where there was a holiness preacher. And she got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and on fire for God. When he came home off tour, she told him what happened and begged him to go to church, and he wouldn't go to church. But finally, after a lot of her asking and him to go, he said, all right, I'll go. He went to that old tent and the sawdust on the floor, and he just began to make fun of it, cutting remarks. And all he did was cut the whole service, and he sat back there in his fine tailor-made suit, and he said, I don't like this. I don't like that. That preacher's a hypocrite. And all they want is my money. And while he was sitting out there criticizing, something began to happen. The women came down and said nothing in the service. The women went down and she didn't say anything to her husband. She went down to the altar and he didn't come and respond to the altar. And she went down to the front and prayed a prayer. And they prayed a prayer of dismissal. And she came back. He was still sitting there, and he said, okay, honey, let's go. And he said back to her, you go ahead. I'm going to stay a while here. She said, why? He said, because I'm not leaving until I get what y'all've got. Now, I don't know what happened between the prayer and the altar and walking the aisle, but something happened. That night, that fine, refined musician, millionaire, got down in the old sawdust, got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost, and demanded with his expensive suit on that they go out behind the tent, break the ice in the river, and baptize him all the ways. And he got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and water baptized all that night. Isn't that how God works? It's a true story, true story. Now, he had 8 children to raise during the Depression. And one day they received a letter in the mail, and he said, you have inherited $4.3 million. Now, $4.3 million in 1930 would be like $40 million today. He said, the only thing is, for you to get the money, you have to move to England, and you have to live on the estate there, and you can collect the millions of dollars. So sure enough, he went to England, he checked it out, he found out, however, that where he was going to have to move his family, he found out there weren't any, not just churches, but any, he said, Holy Ghost-filled churches within driving distance. Now listen to this. Now listen to me, church. He said, I can't afford $4.3 million because I've got to raise my family in the truth. He went on, he wouldn't talk about it, and before he died, they asked him, Daddy, why did you do that? Why did you turn down all that? He said it was just one of the many decisions a man has to make to keep his family in church. That's a man of steel. Now, here's the rest of the story. In 1998, the family had a reunion, and he's been dead many years. Out of the 100 descendants, out of the 8 children, all 8 were saved and filled with the Spirit. 4 out of his 8 children were in full-time gospel ministry. 6 of the grandchildren were in full-time ministry. Only 1 grandkid, when they met in 1998, was backslid, and his grandfather prayed for him to his dying day. And they said, finally, this kid, a little bit later, he finally got saved. My happy report at 75. And now they say this last grandchild that didn't get saved is now saved and runs the aisle of the church on Sundays. Amen. Oh, my goodness. They started Bible schools, churches. They were song leaders and deacons in the church. My goodness. Men of steel. Is there anybody out there today that wants to be a man of steel? Is there any of you ladies that want to pray that your husband is a man of steel? Is there any teenagers in here? Anybody today think we need? Come on and give him praise. Men of steel. It has been said that a child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Would you stand with me this morning? Lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Oh, Father, we praise you today. We love you today. Father, give us men of steel in these critical times. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you look at me this morning, the biggest rock of all is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the first big rock. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, ask him into your heart. Pastor Jerry's going to come as I go to the piano to play. But I want Pastor Jerry to finish the service as he feels led and pray with our fathers. And those of you that are moms, those of you that are single ladies, pray that God will send you a man of steel one day, and you be a woman of steel yourself, and God will bless you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Pastor Jerry, come and let's pray with our folks this morning. One more time, give the Lord a praise for men of steel. Amen. Hey, this is a man of steel right here. Don't you believe Pastor Jerry is a man of steel? Let's honor our pastor this morning. Happy Father's Day, Pastor. We love you. God bless you.
Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Ricky. You know, we all need to pray that God will give us fathers in this nation. Our culture would be entirely different. We had men of steel that followed these principles right here. We wouldn't have all the rioting and the looting and the unrest. We'd have fathers that would teach their children the principles of God. There would be a godly example to them of how a person is to live their life. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But thank God our mistakes, they don't disqualify us. That's what grace is all about. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. It's the power of the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ that he takes us as we are, and he makes us. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I like this part. Follow me. Jesus said, I'll make you. Maybe you failed. I know I have. But I put my hand in that nail-scarred hand at the lowest point in my life, and God transformed my life and transformed my family. I had failed. I was ashamed of my failure. But today, my children are all serving the Lord because I saw something in my parents that my daddy was a godly man. I didn't have to open the Bible and read it. I'd heard enough preaching. In my darkest moment, I said these words. I said, Jerry, you had a written epistle before you all of your life. Your daddy showed you what a real man is. So I decided I would just man up. He served the Lord. He was faithful to take care of his family. That's what grace does. It takes us and it makes us. As we take the Word of God and we give our hearts in total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning for this nation. Lord, I pray for homes, because you instituted the first family. I pray for fathers. Lord, you brought Eve to Adam. They became a family. And then Jesus, you performed the first miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. You turned the water into wine, a symbol of you wanted joy to be in marriages and in homes. And Father, I pray that fathers all over America and all over the world, Lord, they will begin to return and take responsibility for their little children. Children are heritage of the Lord. And Heavenly Father, you can take anyone, because of the power of the blood, you can make them. You said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, to give you an expected end. You said, I'll make up the years that the worms of sin have taken toll on your life. And I'll make up the years that the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm and the locust have eaten up. Father, you're able to give us a crash course and make it up. Lord, I pray for daddies that are away from home. Lord, I pray that the same Holy Ghost that drew me will draw them. That you will touch their hearts, oh God, in such a way. Lord, we need a great revival, a spiritual awakening in this nation. But Lord, we cannot continue to have children out of wedlock and fatherless homes, and people with no godly father to teach them and to instruct them and to show them how to live a life and how to be a man of integrity, a man of character, a man of morality, a person, Lord, that little children can look up to. We pray for families, especially for fathers. Lord, give us godly fathers. Give us men of steel. Help people, Lord, to quit playing the blame game, Lord, and help them to man up and to say, as for me and my house, yes, we're going to serve the Lord.
Praise God.
I'm going to make a difference in this generation. David made a difference in his generation, and I'm going to stand up and be a man after God's own heart and make a difference in my generation. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that when we pray, your ears are open unto the righteous. You said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. We set our affections, Father, on things above, on our godliness and righteousness and holiness and purity and obedience to your word. And Lord, when we do that, then Lord, it affects the world around us because of the power of your word, your love, your mercy, and your goodness. Bless us, Father, as only you can. Let's sing a little bit of I'm Redeemed. We're going to go out of here. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. How many out there redeemed? You need to pray if you want to come and social distance here in the altar. You can just spread out and pray, but we'll be dismissing from the front to the rear today when that time comes. Let's sing this song first. Well, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Well, if anybody asks you just who I am, won't you tell them I am redeemed?
Sing it, church, I am redeemed.
Well, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. It was Jesus that changed my whole life. Well, if anybody asked you just who I am,
Brother Bill,
won't you tell them I am redeemed?
Listen to me now.
Well, I'll tell of His favor, gonna tell of His love, gonna tell of His goodness to me. Well, He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free.
Sing it, church.
Well, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. It was Jesus that changed my whole life. Well, if anybody asked you just who I am, won't you tell them I